Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Denton and I were just talking during the break about, you know, the name conversation. And I guess the Junkies brought this up on their show this morning or yesterday morning about me talking about what I've talked about for a while now, which is, yeah, I would lean in the direction of them doing something with the name. B, I think that the chances of them doing something with the uniforms, those chances are even greater. And C, it ain't easy. Whatever they pull off and whatever they decide to do, this is, trust me, this is lots of data, lots of polling, lots of conversations, lots of financial modeling. There's a lot going on to try to figure out if this makes sense or not. But I read this, Connor is a friend of my son's from back in high school, all right? And Connor emails me all the time. And Connor, who is 28 years old, Kevin, I was hoping we'd have another 2 weeks before I brought up this question. Credit to my girlfriend who came up with this conundrum. Would you rather have this season or Redskins back? For you, I bet you'd slam the name button without even thinking about it. For the younger fans, it's a real dilemma. This season was unbelievable for no matter how long you've been a fan, and there's so much promise going forward. But I'd really be interested to see who's up for this season versus the name back. Let's just assume we go 6-11 or 7-10, and Jaden has much more of a typical rookie season. Maybe just use Drake May's season as the alternative. He doesn't start week one, some good games, bad games, but shows promise, but it's clear our roster is a long ways away. But we have the name and our uniforms back. Maybe one step further, would you trade Jaden for the name? Stop it, Connor! Connor's trying to take your job, Denton. He's trying to take your job with some pretty good ideas for call segments.
That is a good idea.
So let me just tell you that I would not trade Jaden for anything right now. I bet people are surprised at that. Maybe not. In terms of this season, first of all, you're proposing something that isn't possible. Redskins coming back is impossible, but we don't deal with possible versus impossible in the world of hypothetical in sports talk radio. Would I trade the season for Redskins back? Probably. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I probably would.
You would,
yeah, because that would totally have me attached once again in the way that I used to be attached. And not only that, I'd be so excited to see Jaden's development. But I wouldn't trade Jaden for the name. No, I wouldn't trade Jaden for the name. But look, fortunately, we're not living in the world of hypothetical when it comes to this thing. We got this season, and we also, the majority of, you know, long time fans, want a change. But Redskins isn't an option. It's just not going to be an option. And that's also very complicated because you guys know how I feel. You know, I feel like it should be an option, but I know that it's not. So, you know, move on because it's a fight not worth fighting. It's not coming back. Does it deserve to come back? It's like we've talked about for, I don't know, 15 years now. This is an issue where if you told me and proved to me that Native Americans in mass were offended by this, of course I wouldn't want the name. But no one's ever been able to prove it. In fact, they've proved otherwise. They've proved over and over again that the significant majority, 9 out of 10, in fact, with the last real polling, actually doesn't view it as insensitive or racist. You know, they just don't, and they have no problem with the name. But that battle got lost. It got lost because of Dan Snyder's, you know, incompetence and treatment of his minority shareholders, and it synced up with the summer of 2020 when everything was going down. In a summer that, you know, everybody will look back on, no matter what your political beliefs were, to say, well, maybe some of this got a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, without Fred Smith stepping to the front and saying, you change it or we're out as FedEx, it probably still wouldn't have been swept up. I don't think. I think Snyder would have fought that for a while. But it's left the barn. It ain't coming back. I mean, for me, I don't know how many times I need to say this, the thing that would offend the least and make, you know, other than Redskins, is Washington Football Team, Washington Football Club. Change the uniforms back. Be great to get the logo back. That would also be another way to attach, you know, viscerally, emotionally to those that have kind of checked out. I think one of the interesting things, and we learned that John Orand, although I think I had shared it a couple of weeks earlier, but John Orand from Puck News was on the show yesterday. You know, we're living, all of us that talk about this team and watch this team, we're living in a bigger tent, a lot bigger tent, a lot bigger bubble than the one that existed a year ago. But it is still nowhere near the size it used to be. And that is reflected in things like the local television ratings for the regular season. You had a team that won 12 games, was the most exciting, you know, unexpected story in the NFL season. You had a player that, for all intents and purposes, became one of the most exciting players in the league as a rookie at quarterback. And the team finished 21st out of 32 in local television ratings. You only have to go back 15 years to find Washington no worse than top 12, top 10 in local television ratings. So there is still, and this is what I've emphasized, there is still a big chunk that has not come back. Now, we haven't seen the playoff numbers. I would imagine that they were through the roof. Locally, I'm talking about, even though the NFC Championship game was one of the lowest rated in recent memory, part of that is because the game was a complete blowout in the fourth quarter. But there is still the... We get into it, the group that is listening right now and outside of this group, listens to other shows, consumes podcasts, reads about the team, is into the team. The fan base grew significantly this year, but it is still far from where it used to be. And that's where, you know, things like name, brand, uniforms and stuff, that's where they're looking at it saying, so what would be the difference in revenue if we did make a move back? How many people would jump back in? How many people would start buying product? Jaden Daniels' jersey was the number one jersey on Fanatics here at the end, but how much of that was local versus national? Because he became a national sort of figure in the NFL. But yeah, no, I would never trade Jaden for the name at this point because, yeah, this is the only chance you have of, you know, being good. But we don't have to choose, you know. Both is what I want. I want the name changed. I want the uniforms back. I want a feeling like my team is back, not that I am rooting now in a different way for an expansion team. Thank you, Connor. Good job trying to produce the show. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. I want to read something real quickly. It comes from, where is it? Sander. Sander wrote, Kevin, you had a good take on the distance between Washington and Philadelphia. And he's referring to the conversation, Denton, that we had either yesterday or the day before, that what became kind of clear in Sunday's NFC title game is that there's a difference between Philly and Washington on the field. They've got a better roster. They've got a better team. We can talk about fourth and five and the missed holding penalty. And by the way, we will talk about that forever because that was a significant missed call in the game and would have changed the final score of the game. Maybe not who won the game because Philly was the better team in the game, but you don't get run 55-23 if you've got the lead at halftime. And that's what that play really determined. It was Washington, if they're punting on 4th and 15, is probably going to have the lead at halftime. Instead, they were down 12 when all hell broke loose. But anyway, Sander was referring to the conversation about the pressures on Adam Peters now to close that gap. It's good pressure. You know, he doesn't have the pressure of finding a quarterback. He got the quarterback right. But they've got some distance to cover. And by the way, Philadelphia is a top-notch organization, and they continue to add. So it's not like you just have a fixed, you know, gap that you're chasing. Their gap will change. Their upside, their team will change as well. They've done a great job with that. Back to Sanders' email. Kevin, good take on the distance between Washington and Philadelphia, but the rest of the NFC seems to be weakening. The Lions have 19 unrestricted free agents and lost their offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are both now head coaches. The Bucks lost their OC. The Vikings don't have a proven quarterback under contract. The Rams have an aging quarterback. The 49ers, who knows? And the rest of the NFC South and the NFC East are garbage. I think Washington might have the third best odds to win the NFC Championship next year. What do you think? Denton, have you seen the odds for next year yet?
I have not. Not the
okay,
official odds, at least.
Don't look, because I want to ask you. Because when I read this, I thought, he's right. Washington's going to be the third pick to win the NFC Championship. They're going to be in the top, you know, 7, 8, 9 teams to win the Super Bowl next year. So the odds are out. I went and looked it up after this. But where do you think Washington would be in the NFC 2025-2026 odds?
And these are legit odds from a reputable book, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got them out.
I would imagine, are you talking first, like the number or in terms of
I don't need the price. I need to, who in the NFC would have better odds?
I would think they would be fourth behind the Eagles, Lions, and Packers.
You're correct that they're fourth. You got the third team wrong. The 49ers are still ahead of them. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
I think
the
49ers are going to get blown up this year.
It's the Eagles, the Lions, and then the 49ers, and then Washington, and then Green Bay. They're seventh in odds to win the Super Bowl. All right, here are basically the odds. Kansas City, and by the way, this was a blended of a lot of different sites. Kansas City's the favorite for 2025-2026 at plus 600. The Bills and Ravens are both plus 650. The Eagles are plus 700. The Lions are plus 950. 49ers plus 1600. Washington plus 1800. And then it's Green Bay, Cincinnati at plus 2000. And the Chargers are plus 2200. So those are the top 10 Super Bowl odds favorites. So I didn't actually see an NFC championship number. I just took it from the Super Bowl odds, which isn't necessarily the best way to do it all the time. But without knowing what the rosters are or what the schedules are, Washington will be, you know, somewhere around the fourth pick. I thought they were going to be the third. I thought they were going to be ahead of San Francisco and slightly ahead of Green Bay. Because they do have, on paper right now, most people would say, right, they've got the best quarterback in the NFC.
Correct.
It's very early to do this because we haven't had free agency or the draft. Obviously, we're still not even done with all the coaching changes and the coaching staff changes. But when I read this, I'm like, where will they be? So their position as seventh best odds as of now, subject to change, that could change with a phenomenal offseason. You know, you go out and get T. Higgins, you draft Ashton Gentry, whatever. You get an edge run stopper and pass rusher and another corner and whatever. They might end up flying up the charts. Two things. One, this would be the closest, the best odds to win the Super Bowl for this franchise since the year 2000, when they were plus 350 to win the Super Bowl, and the Rams were plus 300. They were the second pick to win the Super Bowl in 2000. The Rams had won their first Super Bowl with the greatest show on turf. Washington had won a division, won a playoff game, but had gone out and signed Deion, Bruce Smith, Mark Carrier, Jeff George, you know, all of them. The fantasy football offseason for Dan Snyder's first offseason in 2000. They were the second pick that year. They finished 8-8. And Norv got fired late, and all hell broke loose after that, obviously. But this would be the closest they've been since 2000 as a preseason expectation Super Bowl contender. What do you think this equates to in over-under on wins?
I can't imagine it'll be anything less than 9.5.
That's what I said. Exactly.
I can't imagine. Now, obviously, that depends on free agency. Like, I think the 49ers are, just as an example, I think they're going to have more issues this year in terms of guys wanting to be paid and not having enough money, especially when you have to pay Brock Purdy. So I think they're going to lose at least one of their big-time playmakers, if not two. So I think they'll jump them. But I can't imagine that number is going to be anything more than 9.5, looking at some of the teams that they're going to be playing this year.
Yeah, that was the first number that came to my mind, but I actually think, is it possible it could be 10.5? What were Dallas and Philadelphia this year? 10.5?
Philadelphia was definitely 10.5. Dallas might have been 9.5.
Okay. What was the highest over-under for wins in the NFC? Was it the 49ers at 11.5?
I'm pulling them up now for the...
I'm guessing that there's a chance it could be 10.5.
So Detroit was 10.5 in the NFC. Philly was 11.5.
Okay.
Dallas was 9.5. I was right there.
Washington might be 10.5.
San Francisco was 10.5. 11.5 seems like the Chiefs were 12. And that 12 was the largest this offseason.
They'll have the highest over-under for win total since 2000. Best odds since 2000. Look, when you win 12 games, which they haven't done since 1991, hadn't won 11 since 1991, and you won two road playoff games and you were one game away from the Super Bowl, and it was quarterback driven and that quarterback's coming back, and most people think that the supporting cast will be better, the schedule on paper will be tougher. But as I look around the NFC, you know, I see Philly. I see Detroit. I don't know after that. But when I say I don't know, that means I also don't know about some of the teams that weren't good last year that could end up becoming Washington in 2025.
So
Chicago. Carolina. I don't think it'll be Dallas or the Giants. But you just never know. Green Bay is the team. You said Green Bay, and that's what I thought too. Green Bay, in terms of the roster, a healthy roster across the board, and we don't know what it's going to look like in 2 months, but right now, it would be Philly 1, it might be Detroit 2, Green Bay 3, or Green Bay 2, Detroit 3. Washington's not in the top 3 in the roster conversation, that's for sure.
Not at the moment, no.
No, not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
And Minnesota won 14 games, but if they don't have Sam Darnold, and maybe even if they do, they're not winning 14 again, and they'll probably end up with a second year, but really a rookie quarterback in terms of experience playing next year in J.J. McCarthy. That usually doesn't work out well unless you've got Jaden Daniels. or C.J. Stroud. All right. Josh Harris wrote a letter to the fan base. I'll read it next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Visinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Josh Harris, on behalf of Marjorie Harris, Josh Harris's wife, and the Harris family, and the entire Washington Commanders ownership group, it appears as if they took out a letter in the Washington Post to thank fans. I'll read the letter. Dear Commanders fans, this season marked the beginning of bringing Washington football back to its status as a premier franchise in the NFL and restoring the significance, pride, and sense of community that this team has represented for decades. Growing up in Chevy Chase, I remember Sundays when the entire DMV came together in support. Those memories shaped my vision for this franchise, and I will continue to strive tirelessly to build a team that unites and inspires for years to come. When we became stewards of this franchise 2 summers ago, our mission was clear: to win on the field and in the community by creating a culture of excellence, attracting the best talent, and investing deeply in our team. I could not be prouder of our front office and coaching staff, led by Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, who have set the tone for this franchise and laid the foundation for success. And starting next week, Mark Klaus will officially join the organization. Mark brings decades of experience as an exceptional business leader and will focus on creating amazing fan experiences and ensuring our team delivers for the communities we are so fortunate to serve. Of course, none of this would have been possible without the incredible efforts of our players, whose hard work, grit, and brotherhood define the season. A special thank you to Jaden Daniels, who made history and shattered records. And thank you to our additional postseason captains, Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin, Jeremy Reeves, and Bobby Wagner, along with the rest of the players. Everyone stepped up and contributed to deliver a 12-5 regular season and thrilling playoff run. This season was a tremendous reminder that the Commanders can galvanize not just a fan base, but an entire community. Our mission to build an elite franchise and create unforgettable experiences begins and ends with you, the fans. Your unwavering support has meant everything. Week after week, through highs, lows, and unforgettable moments, that Hail Mary, he adds parenthetically in week 8, you showed up. We're building this for you, and we won't stop until we have a championship. Thank you for being on this journey with us. With sincere gratitude and excitement for what's ahead, Josh Harris. And again, on behalf of Marjorie Harris, his wife, and the Harris family, and the entire Washington Commanders ownership group. Very nice to put out a letter to thank the fans, always, after almost any season. Sometimes it may be more important to do it after a bad season, even though you will get mocked for doing it that way. But I think it's very clear that since they took over, they understood the damage that had been done and what needed to happen to repair that damage and restore some sense of the team being legitimately important in the market, not just as a discussion centerpiece, because that's never really wavered, ironically, right? Even with all of the poor performance on the field, and the poor attendance in the stadium and the poor television ratings, you know, when they played, especially later in the season. For whatever reason, the conversation about the team, and by the way, that's part community too, because communities celebrate together and they also wallow in misery together. You know, sometimes it's much easier when you have company with your misery. So they understood this. They understood what they were buying. They understood how far it had fallen, and they understood the challenge of bringing it back. And, you know, we had an owner before who was also a fan and grew up a fan, who, by the way, is essentially, I think, the same exact age as Josh Harris. You know, while those guys were, you know, Mark Guine and Josh were over in Chevy Chase in an elementary school over there, Dan was in Rockville in some elementary school and, you know, junior high school and high school. We had, you know, that didn't guarantee anything just because they understood it, although I'll just say, and I felt this way all along, I never really felt like Dan was the fan of the team that he said he was. I think his father was a fan of the team the way many of us had been fans of the team, but I don't think he was necessarily. I think in many ways he just wanted to do something ultimately that made him, you know, part of the group, you know, part of the guys, part of, you know, and maybe for his father as well. But anyway, I digress. These guys knew what they were purchasing. They knew the challenge. By the way, the challenge first started with the purchase itself. It was not an easy one. I remember when it was finalized in the late July of 2023, just saying, man, thank you. Like, Josh, thank you. And the 20-plus minority owners of this team. I mean, there wasn't really anybody else willing to step up and pay that price. And that's what was required to get him to sell. I mean, no matter what was going to happen with the franchise moving forward, we could never thank him enough. And by the way, understand how hard it was. This wasn't Bezos just writing a $6 billion check, give me the team. I've got, you know, hundreds of billions more. This was not that situation. This was not hedge fund money. This was not sovereign money. This was not Saudi money. This was Josh Harris, who obviously is very wealthy and has been very successful, but needing to write a business plan to raise capital so that he had partners that could help him get over the top price-wise. I mean, and look, part of that business plan was, once Snyder's gone, we got a chance to get people back. I also, you know, look at this and just see the appreciation for the people that he hired. You know, there are no guarantees when you hire people that it's going to work out the way you think it'll work out, and it didn't take long. Their first real offseason, it was not 2023. They bought the team too late to fire Ron Rivera, to, you know, change the front office, to change the roster even in a significant way. Obviously, it was too late. Camp was a week and a half away, or less than a week away at that point when the sale got finalized. But, you know, they kind of went against what a lot of pundits, a lot of fans even, thought they should do with respect to the head coach. I mean, let's go back a year ago. Dan Quinn was not a popular hire with the majority of the fan base. Part of that is on the, you know, environment in the moment, which said, and had a lot of people saying, Ben Johnson is their guy and Ben Johnson needs to be their hire. Well, it's not what they thought. And they didn't succumb to sort of public pressure. Remember, Dan did that with Fossil? Had Fossil basically hired? Public pressure basically said, we don't want Jim Fossil. And then they were left with Jim Zorn. These guys knew that it was more than just a football coach they were looking for. You know, they got their guy and their general manager in Adam Peters. That was a huge get, massive get. But then it was about who is going to lead the culture change from ground level, from the locker room level. They were looking for a leader. They were looking for a really good coach with a really good resume, with a real understanding of X's and O's, but they were really looking for a culture changer, a guy that could attract other coaches that would get it and understand what they were doing. That's why the Ben Johnson thing, even though a lot of people didn't understand what was going on and sort of spoke to it in a different way, that's why Dan Quinn was always, from the minute they interviewed him and the minute they started to talk to other people outside the organization, he became an immediate favorite of Josh Harris and of Adam Peters and was at or near the top of the list. They were going to go through the process because they are process-oriented. They are about gathering as much information on the topic before they make a decision, and they went through the rest of the process. But it wasn't a popular outside of the building hire. Didn't matter to them. They knew they had the right guy, and you can tell through this letter that he is, you know, there's a deep breath part of it. Did we really get it right with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn? All these people are saying we didn't get it right, with the coach anyway. And then what was, let's face it, other than the quarterback being selected and the six players that were selected in the top 100, you know, free agency-wise, it's like, I mean, there was a lot of, really? Zach Ertz? Really? How old's Wagner now? Chin can't stay on the field. Eckler? He can't stay. There was not a lot of buzz over their free agent class. And by the way, you know, it was justified in the moment. They weren't trying to create buzz in this free agency class. They were trying to change the culture. They were trying to do it without rebuilding. Recalibrating was the word used right from the jump. But man, there was a real sense in this letter from Josh Harris that, whew, man, couldn't have gone any better. We look pretty good now, and we got a lot of forward momentum. So, look, without getting into the specific, did he say Commanders too many times? Did he say Commanders enough? He said Washington football. What did he say here? I'm just telling you, this is something they're considering. Whether we get over the finish line with a new name and new uniforms or not, they're at least absolutely taking this seriously. And they're going to go through the process and see if it pencils out. Ultimately, when you pay $6 billion, you better do something that from, you know, a financial standpoint makes sense rather than just bowing to emotion. Again, I think there's a good chance that the majority of us that want change will get it in some way, shape, or form. Here's my question to you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Josh Harris just wrote a letter to you, thanking you, fans of this team. Sincere gratitude, excitement for what's ahead. What would you say to him if you had, you know, 30 seconds to sort of respond to his thank you? What would you say back to him? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Window Nation's got a phenomenal deal going on right now. How about 60% off on all windows with no payments and no interest for 2 full years? Experts say that while we're in a lull here from the bitter cold that we've had over the last month, that it'll get worse before spring. So if you've got older windows, drafty windows, cold windows, insulated windows, but not insulated enough, you're losing too much of your heat. You're paying too much for your heating bill. Give Window Nation a shot. Have them come out, pitch you on their products, leave you with a quote. It's free. It's not going to cost you anything. And they're not going to pressure you into making a decision right away. What I promise you is you're going to work with a company that has a great product, that is top-notch in customer service. They've got over 33,000 five-star reviews on Google. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And you're going to get a great deal, 60% off, with no payments and no interest for 2 full years. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Biggest news locally is, unfortunately, that deadly crash that took place last night between a Black Hawk helicopter and a commercial airline that was heading into DCA. We continue to have victims identified. A number of figure skaters in that community were on that flight. Unfortunately, there are multiple reports confirming that no survivors, there were 60 total on the plane, but no survivors were pulled out of the water as of yet and confirmed to be no survivors in that crash. So really just unfortunate situation. We're praying for those families. If you missed our conversation that Kevin had with Steve Buckantz, highly encourage you to go check that out. Incredibly insightful and helpful for those that might need that. Not easy to transition, but there were some sports last night. The Terps picked up a big win over number 17 ranked Wisconsin, 76-68. All five of the Terps scored 10 plus points. Derek Queen, all five of their starters, I should say. Derek Queen went for 12 points and 12 rebounds. Not as good of a night for the Wizards. They lost to the Raptors 106-82. Scotty Barnes led all scorers with 24. Kuzma led the Wizards with 19 and 10. They take on the Lakers tonight at Cap One. You can hear it right here on the Team 980. In the NFL, Tavita Pritchard interviewed with the Jaguars for their offensive coordinator position under new head coach Liam Cohen. David Blau expected to interview with a number of different organizations, the Jets and Bears included, for a potential job on their new coaching staffs. And that's what's trending.
Josh Harris sent a thank you note to all of the fans. I read it in the last segment. It was in the Washington Post. How would you react to it, or what would you say to Josh Harris if you had 30 seconds to sort of respond to him thanking you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Look, I think I'd just say thank you. I mean, appreciate the effort that it took to get the team. I think that not everybody understands what an incredible task it was and mountain they had to climb. I mean, we read about it, and we had Seth Wickersham on the show yesterday. This was not easy, and he stuck with it. You know, he could have bailed at any point when Dan became difficult, but he didn't. The effort to buy the team by Josh Harris and Mitchell Rales and Magic Johnson and all of them, I mean, really was heroic. And probably, I would bet at some point, they probably were like, this is just too much. Let's move on. We got better things to do. But they never did because they wanted it so badly. And, you know, people felt in the moment that they overpaid, but you almost can't overpay for an NFL franchise. But I would say thank you. I appreciate the effort that it took to get this team, the job that you guys have done since taking it over. Not only a winning team, an organization that behaves in an adult way. You know, you've engaged with the community. You've, you know, developed a winning product on the field. You've changed the culture. You know, all of those things are great. And then I would just remind him, not that he needs reminding of it, that a significant percentage of the fan base still, you know, is on the cusp, not ready to jump back in. And that issue is the name and the brand and the associated brand. I would also say, I know it's not easy, but I think doing something about it is better than doing nothing about it. What would you say to Josh Harris after reading this thank you letter? Denton, what would you say?
I mean, I would thank him for a lot of things. I would thank him for allowing the football people to do the football and to not be the maniacal puppet master that's leading a poor show the way the previous guy was. But I think I would take it more from, as crazy as this is, Kevin, a branding perspective, because although we don't love the name around these parts, it's very, very clear that this year it felt like the Commanders were not the redheaded stepchild of the NFL. It felt like this franchise was not the redheaded stepchild. Like, it almost felt like it was cool to be a fan of this organization, and it felt like people wanted to do business with this organization, which makes life a lot easier for those of us that work in our space. So I would thank him for allowing the Commanders and helping get this organization, this franchise, back to being a very relevant franchise in the NFL.
301-230-0980. What would you say to Josh Harris if he gave you 30 seconds to respond to his thank you? Let's start with my guy, Samu. Samu, I did get your text. I have reached out to the person you asked me to reach out to, and I'll let you know. What's going on?
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm well.
I would like to say to Josh, thanks for dramatically changing the culture of the team and bringing us back to total respectability after 32 years and making all of our dreams come true. And I would also say it's time to open a state-of-the-art Washington football team, Hall of Fame, and museum to honor all of those over the last 92 years who have built this amazing franchise with such an incredible history. And let's honor them while a lot of them are still around.
Samu has the largest collection of football memorabilia for the Washington Redskins, the Washington football team, and probably some Commander stuff too, of anybody out there. And his, I've gotten a chance to see it. It is unbelievable, the stuff he has that goes back to the beginning of the franchise in Boston as they came to Washington. Yeah, you're going to get there with him. You'll get there. Right?
Thanks. I appreciate that, Kevin. I do. I really am. I'm so thrilled about what they've done for this team. And honestly, I feared that we might never see the day because, hey, Dan Snyder's our age and he might outlive us all.
Right.
But, I just didn't think it was going to ever happen with him. And it's just everything has changed. You know, now it's a team we can all be proud of and we can actually have real hope, not just a couple of crazy free agent signings that give us false hope.
It really, I mean, for you, for us, and you and I are the same age and we grew up during the glory years and we were at RFK for all of them in Super Bowls. I mean, we've talked about this off the air, but it was something that eventually wore me down. Like, I never would have guessed in 1991 that 30 years later I wouldn't be anywhere near the emotional fan, have the emotional attachment to the team that I used to. It's quite remarkable what he did. We've talked about it a lot, but you've hung in there as much as anybody has. And this year was fun, right?
Well, and I've tried to explain to people how huge just being back in the championship game was, that it's been 33 years. And and to put it in perspective, in the 20 years before that, we went to 6 NFC championship games and we won 5 of them. And, to go 33 years without it, to see all my friends' kids who are, approaching 30 years old, who have never, they've just never seen us when we were good. It's so nice that those guys stuck around too, and that they're still fans, and they finally got to enjoy, just seeing a wonderful product and, nothing to be ashamed of at all.
Good job. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Yep. Samu, everybody. TC, what would you say to Josh Harris after he wrote this long thank you letter to the fans?
Thanks, Kevin, for keeping my call. I would tell him, just say to him, thank you, appreciate it and everything, but I have to remind him that that's the honeymoon period. The honeymoon period is over with now. So we need to get back to business, keep doing what you're doing, and make sure that we improve the team, and that's Adam Peters' job. So I'm looking for that because, be honest with you, this area, we as fans – we always drink the Kool-Aid real quick. We won something. We going
the
in
Kool-Aid
the right
though this year got us to within one game of the Super Bowl. It's not like we went 9-8 and bowed out in the first round.
Let me finish. Let me finish, Kevin. Let me finish. We jump on the bandwagon real quick. We had this kind of feeling with, I hate to mention the guy's name because I really hate the guy, but RG3 when it was all said and gravy. We jumped on the bandwagon, and then the following years, we went down the tubes again. So I believe this organization, that's why I'm thanking Josh Harris, this organization, what he's put together, is way better than all that. And I love that part of it. So I just want to keep improving, and I wanted to remind you, Kevin, and all the fans out there, that we need to be adults in this and move forward. We all still want to keep on going back. I'm older than you, Kevin. I went way back when I was parking cars over there when George Allen days. So I know about the whole history and everything of the Redskins and all that. But it's time. Everything changes. So we want to go back to the name and all that. No, that name for 33 years has us losing. Move on to the new name, and we win it with this new name of Commanders. When you win – just like Brian Mitchell said, when you win, fans will come back. And the fans.
Yeah, except
back.
That. Thanks for the call, TC. I appreciate it. Because I got to run. I'm up against a hard break and I didn't get to the other people on hold. But that is true. And a lot of people did come back. There's no doubt. And a lot of people didn't because the numbers prove that out also. All right. We're done for the day. Who's in with Chris? Is Doc with him or not?
Just Chris Solo. Solo
Chris Solo next. I'm back tomorrow.